Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 461 of Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 3, Beauty and the Beach.
It aired on February 22nd, 2003, written by Mark Hoffmeyer.
That's an old name.
Directed. Koichi Sakamoto directed this.
Directed this one. That's how Australians say it. It's a director. it's regular time on Monday, but I don't know. I feel like it gets earlier every. It's also overcast here, so I kind of want to go to sleep. But I have to do a podcast right now, so I can't.
I've just been working a lot, so I'm tired.
Yeah, that's fair. Putting in 48-hour weeks, that sounds like hell.
In the middle of a global pandemic, it's fine.
Yeah.
Go to a nasty Walmart and get breathed on by gross people all day.
I had two separate people come in on Saturday. I mean, there was a lot of people there, more than there should have been. Hey, everybody, stay home. You don't need shoe racks. Like, two different people needed. Like, I get your home a lot now, and you're like, well, maybe I should start organizing because I'm going to be here. Maybe I'll go buy a shoe rack. Maybe put that on an Amazon list, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, stay home, y'all. Get food and go home.
You have to have enough toilet paper by now. Please stop buying it.
We don't have it. That's for damn sure. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along. I almost said Ninja Storm. If you have Ninja Storm or the DVDs or Netflix, if you got Ninja Storm taped, I guess, from back in 2003 when tapes were a going concern, you can watch it that way.
Let us know all the Sobe Life Water commercials that played during it.
If you have any Ninja Storm episodes taped, please let us know what the commercials are for.
It's just like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. So.
It's Tech Decks. And Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Absolutely, it's Tech Decks.
And Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And then, like, Go-Gurt. Probably a lot of Go-Gurt commercials during Power Rangers Ninja Storm, if I had to bet. Like,
Go-Gurt commercials were exclusively extreme kids skateboarding or rollerblading with Go-Gurt. Yeah.
Josh, I don't know if you know this about Go-Gurt. It's yogurt on the go.
You could take it anywhere.
Yeah. It's like a pizza bagel. Bagel bite? What is those?
A bagel bite. It's,
you can have pizza anytime.
Pizza's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime.
Well, when yogurt's in a tube, you can have yogurt anytime.
Did you know you can freeze the Go-Gurt and have a frozen Go-Gurt on the go?
That sounds actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Are Go-Gurt still I know Dunkaroos are coming back. Is Go-Gurt still a thing you can get?
Yeah, I stocked some yesterday.
Hot dog. Everyone, stay home. Don't get the Go-Gurt. Wait. Wait until the pandemic is over.
Don't get the Go-Gurt. That's for me.
That's for us. We have to go out to these places to work there so we can get the Go-Gurt and freeze it and have nice frozen Go-Gurt. And I'll have it. It won't be on the go. It'll be in my house sitting down when I eat the Go-Gurt. Anyway, we're going to go watch Ninja Storm now. Let's go watch Beauty and the Beach.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form.
And we're back, and we just watched Beauty and the Beach.
Both of them.
Do you remember there were, like, bumper stickers, and all they said on them was life's a beach?
I do remember.
What was the message of that? Was it just trying to be, like, clever and be like, look, we're swearing, but, like, we can sell it at Walmart?
Yeah, I think it's like that. It's like, well, we're complaining, but, like, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the opposite, like... Hey, life isn't actually bad. It's just, it's a beach.
It's like life is good. Lowe's life is good stickers.
It's like
and
a
shirts.
Life is good shirt if it was a bumper sticker.
And then they made life is crap.
Yeah, and that was, that just had like a picture of a cell phone and it was like, no service, life is crap. It's like, okay. Thanks, PacSun, for making this shirt, I guess.
The 2000s, man. What a time.
It was. We didn't know what we were doing.
We still don't.
Well, no. Now it seems worse in a way.
Now we get sick and still go outside.
Woof. HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's the website. You can go there, listen to old episodes, podcasts up through Lost Galaxy. You can also find our classic feeds, which you can listen to up through Turbo right now. If you want to go listen to the old episodes, you can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Lockus Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife. Podknife 2, the Squeakquel, and Stitcher. and Pod Beach. It's just a lot of water sounds.
Oh.
It's actually very soothing, but it's you have to download them individually, and they're only about 25 minutes long each. And there are ads during the – so it'll stop, and then the beach will tell you about Casper mattresses for like 10, 15 minutes. Like, you know, like podcasts do. You can leave us a rating or review in any of those places. That would help us out a bunch. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some cool stuff in return for helping the show. The sentence came out backwards than what I wanted it to. But I think you understand my meaning. This is a Monday episode, so we don't need to do any extra stuff. Josh, do you just want to jump right in?
Yes.
Let's
talk about this beach.
I want to talk about the beauty at some point, because I thought this episode was going to go a much different way, and I'm very glad it didn't, because it subverted my expectations wonderfully. We start off with Tor. Surfing USA, like she likes doing. And she gets to the beach, and a little far away from her, Shane is talking to another surfer boy. And you can't really make out what they're saying, but the surfer boy definitely says, she's hot.
Yeah, that's the only words I heard.
which is correct, surfer boy. And then Shane comes up, and she's like, what was that? And he's like, oh, that idiot thinks you're a girl. So, like... I told him to screw off because that's lame, right? And she's like, you don't think that extremely hot boy I would like to talk to and hang out with? And he's like, I don't understand what you're saying at all, even a little bit.
It's super weird because, I mean, it's 2003 and they're on a beach in California. So him being like, yo, dude, that chick is hot. It's like, I guess fine. But also... if someone came up to me and told me that my friend was totally hot, I'd be like, leave them alone.
Yeah, I would be like, okay, like, get out of here.
So I don't think Shane's in the wrong for telling him to beat it, but he is in the wrong for being like, he thinks you're like into that. Which is weird, right?
From Tori's point of view, because they're like, they're teens, they're not in school, or they are in school and it's the summer. I think they might be in school, but it's the summertime.
Well, they were in school, but the school got sucked into a black hole and is in space now.
That was like ninja summer school, though, I think.
Well, then, yeah, it would be summertime.
Because Lothar talked about how, like, he's like, oh, take your nieces for the summer. It'll be fun. So, like, I'm assuming it's summertime, which means they won't be in school, which is why she's just surfing all the time. And Dustin has a part-time job, but that's about it. So I think they're like seniors, right? So she's like a horny teen, and a cute boy is like, she's hot. And she's like, yes, let's do something about this. And Shane's like, that seemed fake what he said to me, because you're just Tori. So I don't know. And so she gets mad, and she does actually call the surfer boy a hottie, like, quote, a hottie.
Yeah.
Which for Power Rangers felt a little scandalous.
Him already saying that she's hot felt weird. And then her calling him a hottie.
This definitely aged, like, the Power Rangers age bracket jumped from, like, target demo being, like, 4 to 11 to being, like, 13 to 17. Like just, like, bump.
Yeah.
Like, or I guess, like, you know, 12 to 15, 16-ish.
Yeah, like, 10 to 15, maybe. Yeah. 11 to 15, somewhere in there.
Just by, like, the simple act of like, agreeing that people can be attractive, which they never do. Unless they're like, she's like a beautiful princess who's doing roller skating.
Yeah, but I feel like even when Kim and Tommy were, like, starting to, like, be flirty and stuff, they were never, like... Kim said he was cute.
That was as far as it went,
but
though.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, they're just like, hey, do you want to hang out?
They
and
just
then they
wanted
do
to...
one kiss and then never again.
They just wanted to hang out and kiss in silhouette.
I guess they did kiss twice because there was the mistletoe.
Right.
But that's like Christmas laws, so like that's that not... doesn't count.
That kiss is not in canon.
No. It didn't air at the right time. So anyway, so she's like, all right, I'm leaving. She starts walking away. Shane's like, what did I do? And we cut over to Capri and Mara, who are watching from behind some rocks. Mara's hair is a bug, I realized today. Her big
her
goggles are
hair?
Bug eyes, and then she has antenna coming out.
Ew.
Yeah. I also think I like Mara a lot better than I like Capri.
Yeah, Capri.
Which is surprising for me because Capri's the mean one.
Yeah, it feels to me like Capri is just kind of Nadira again.
Yeah, she's like worse Nadira. Like, she doesn't have like any of the charm. Also, she's extremely mean to Mara, but like not in a fun or playful or warranted way. She's just like nasty
to
her.
A gross bully to Mara.
Yeah.
And Mara in this episode is like, stop.
Yeah, she's like, stop it.
She's like, please cut it out. I'm pretty, damn it.
And she is. She's looking at Shane. She's like, let's go after that one. That one is hot. Let's get some of that. And Capri's like, no, we got to focus on the blue one. That's the plan for the day. So then she walks away. We cut to Storm Chargers. Tori comes in. Also, I realized they have different outfits.
Yeah.
They're wearing different clothes, and it's great.
Crazy that we have to make a point out of the fact that they changed their clothes.
That they have outfits? Yeah. So Tori comes in. She, like, leans against the thing. I think she grabs a magazine or something. Dustin comes up behind her, and he's like, so Shane thinks you're mad at him. And Tori says, and I wrote this down because it was wonderful. She says, wow, I guess that's why he wears the red suit. And then so Shane comes up and they try to tell Tori that, like, or I guess he's just sitting in the background. He doesn't come up, but she's like, I'm a girl. You get that, right? And like, I would like to do girl things sometimes, like go on dates with boys. And they're like, well, you're not like a girl. And Shane's like, yeah, you're like a guy girl. And then Kelly walks up and she's like, you're not helping.
Yeah.
You are not going to help your case if you go down this road.
Kelly's like, you two better just shut up because you're not making anything better.
And then she hands Tori a letter. She's like, this mail came to my business establishment for you. You do not work here.
You does not work here.
But here you go. And it's for, and I didn't hear what you said, but it's for like Girl Sport Babe Monthly or something.
It's literally like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit shoot, but for like surfers.
And Shane's like, isn't that the one with all the babes in it? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, why do they want you? I do want to point out that Sally Martin is very attractive. Like, it's, I know what they're going for. I totally understand it. It is a little preposterous, though.
Yeah, they're trying to play up the, like, she's one of the guys kind of, like, thing.
Yeah.
Like, she's the tomboy. But she's only, like, a little bit a tomboy.
Yeah. She, like, we haven't really seen a lot of tomboys. She likes surfing. That's not necessarily, like, a boy activity.
She wears, like, shorts instead of bikini bottoms. But she still has, like, a bikini top on.
Yeah. Because she's surfing. She doesn't want her underwear to get ripped off in the waves. This is when I realized that they are all wearing their morphers, too, which is not exactly hiding that you're Power Rangers. They are the same morphers on the wrists of the Power Rangers. So she's like, Kelly's like, are you gonna do it? Are you going to like go through with this? And she's like, yeah, I want to prove that I'm not just some dopey tomboy. And Kelly's like, well, I hope that's a good reason or a good enough reason for you. Smash cut to her talking to Sensei Guinea Pig.
Yeah, she like throws it in front of him, the like invitation, and she's like, is that good enough a reason?
Is that a good reason? And he's like, if he says something, you know, poetic or whatever.
Yeah,
and she's like,
it's
what?
Supposed
he's like,
to be, he says something like,
something
wise,
about your inner strength, too.
But the thing about fiction and like wise old men saying wise old proverbs or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that they end up not meaning anything.
Or they mean something completely different, like what he will say, like what he does say to her, which is like the energy comes from inside of you or something. And like that has nothing to do with if I should go do this bikini shoot or not.
Yeah.
Right. But also he's like, she's like, I don't know what you just said. And he's like, it means that sometimes people want me to give advice, but they just want it to be an answer. And I'm not going to make the decision for you.
Yeah. He says it's different. It's different helping people than making decisions for them.
Yeah. And she's like, ah, oh, beans. Okay, you got me, sensei. And then Cam's like, my fingers are bleeding from coding. Can I please stop? And he's like, no, Cam.
And he says, no, son, please keep typing. Always keep typing.
Always keep typing. We cut up to Lothar, who's like, all right, he's talking to, there's Sergei and there's a guy named Jubo. He's looking at Mara and Capri on a viewing globe sort of situation, and they're at the mall getting into new outfits so they can enact a plan. And he's like, they're gonna fail. that's gonna happen. So Sergei, I want you to be on standby for when this goes pear-shaped. And he's like, got it. And so he walks away. And then Lothar looks over his shoulder at Jubo and he's like, who are you? This is the backpack man who stole all the ninjas for him. And he's like, I'm Jubo? And he's like, go away, Jubo. You're in my personal space. And Jubo's like, okay. And so he starts walking away. He's like, no, wait, come back. You might learn something. I don't know what that means.
I got nothing.
It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe by watching them fail, he's going to learn what not to do.
Maybe. The thing I like about Lothar is that he always seems to be trying to win,
yeah,
which is kind of new for a Power Ranger villain.
Because I feel like Capri and Mara, that's her name, right?
Yes.
Just kind of like did this on their own. They decided like, we're going to mess with the Blue Ranger today.
Yeah, we're going to get her.
Because there's no scene of Lothar telling them like, hey, go get her. Because she has this weakness that we've now seen because of this boy.
Yeah. No, they're just like, we're going to do this. And then Lothar's like, they're not going to do this, right?
Yeah. So like, he knows what's not going to work.
Yeah. Then we cut to Tori going up to the location of the shoot, which is a van down by the river.
Down by the ocean.
It's down by the ocean. You're right. It's caked by the ocean.
What is the ocean, but not just a big river?
Just the world's big, big, big river.
It's the world's widest river.
I would say so.
The ocean.
The ocean.
So she gets there. She says, is this the right place? And I just want to say as like a PSA here, when it is safe to go back outside, please don't do it right now.
Don't go outside right now. I know we're recording this 3 weeks ahead of time. Maybe still don't go outside.
Yeah. If you get a strange invitation and you get there and it's like a really shady thing and you have to ask yourself if it's the right place, just go home.
If you go to a professional shoot for like a real magazine and it's just a van,
it's a
parked
van
near the ocean
with a clothes rack outside with a bunch of Party City costumes on it, that's probably not on the up and up.
This is at best some sort of sex thing and you don't want to be there. For that, we cut up to the two Beetleborgs. I don't know what they're called yet. I'm just calling them the Beetleborgs because their faces is like beetles. And they're like standing on top of this cliff and they're like, ah, she is here. We should do something about that. The other one's like, chill, bro. And he's like, I will chill, bro, but only because you've told me to.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Then they run away. They like disappear.
Yeah. It's like, what if Batman was Surfer? Is kind of like what they sound like. So then Mara and Capri come out and they are fashion people. They're photographers, I guess. They don't have their big fake wigs on. So Mara's hair looks like actually pretty cute. The different wig they have on Capri, because it's still pink, it looks like an old Nadira wig that they shipped from LA to New Zealand.
It's pretty bad.
It's not great. And they're like, all right, you look very plain. She's in like a button up shirt and shorts. Like it looks cute. It's not like a, I don't know what they mean by like, you look plain other than just to neg her. Cause then they grab her.
Because her hair is just like flat and down. other than like production, she doesn't really wear makeup, it doesn't seem like. She just has like a t-shirt and shorts on. Like,
yeah.
They're like, you look, you're not dressed up.
Yeah.
So we're gonna fix you.
Which is a weird thing to say to someone coming to your photo shoot where you did not give them any instructions to dress up or anything. But it's just negging. So they pull her in the van and then they push her back out. And she's in this weird 60s mod outfit. Like,
I don't.
She looks like an Austin Powers extra.
I don't know what's going on here.
Her hair is
dressed like a fembot.
She comes. Yeah, it's kind of like a pantsuit. It's like a 60s pantsuit. Like, her hair's in like this big beehive. And she's like, this is really not me. And they're like, ah, shut up. Get in front of the camera. And she's like, okay. She gets in front of the camera and they pull out the weird cell phone thing, and on the back it says, if lost, please return to Lothor. And she's like, ah, some bitch, y'all are villains.
Was it Mark?
Mark Hoffmeyer.
Hoffmeyer wrote this. I feel like he got this far and he was like, how does she figure it out? And instead of just like looking at Capri for one whole second and being like, hey,
hold on.
They have to put this Batman TV 66? Show nameplate yeah. on the back.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy.
Which is definitely super goofy, but also not completely out of place like you think it should be.
No, it feels right. And it, like, a lot of the writers this season, at least all the ones so far, have been like first, like Mighty Morphin writers, like Doug Sloan and Ann Austin and Mark Hoffmeyer were like, they wrote for like Zordon era Power Rangers stuff. And so the fact that this feels goofy but still works, I feel like, is them bringing that heat back. Because if you look at some of the Wild Force episodes that were goofy, like, let's say, the one where they had to dance weird, right? Like, that just felt not right. It felt stupid and not goofy.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're like...
But this whole season, all three episodes of it that we've seen,
yeah,
has that tone to it.
Yeah, it where really it is works.
It's just a base level cartoony.
Yeah,
and so when you put a If Lost and Returned to Lothor like bolted in brass plate on the back yeah. of the cell phone, it's fine.
It works. Yeah. So then they're like, ah, crap, and they call some Zackies. So she starts fighting the Zackies in her weird mod outfit. I love Power Rangers fighting without their Power Ranger suits on. Yeah. Tori's pretty good.
Especially when it's, like, the actual actors and yeah. not just, like, a far shot of a stunt double doing it.
Yeah, so she's fighting them. There's, like, seven of them, so they just grab her and they, like, put her in front of the camera and takes a picture, and that duplicates her. And so now there is an evil Tori. And then it sucks Tori into the camera dimension. Now, at this point, I thought, okay, here's what's going to happen. She's going to go back to the boys, and she's going to be really girly and, like, flirty and cute and all that. And that's how they're going to figure out what's up.
Like, I thought she was going to go back and just go up to Shane and be like, hey, what's up, bud? We got to go do ninja stuff and have, like, fun time because we're friends. Instead of, like, still being mad at him.
Yeah.
But instead...
They did the exact opposite of what I was expecting.
I'm really glad that she's not just, like, a turned up to 11 version of, like, girly Tori. And that yeah. she's just... mad.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like stereotype ditzy blonde Tori, and I was like, okay, that might be fun. But then what instead they do is the Mara and Capri are like, you gotta go back and you gotta find their base, and then you gotta ruin it or whatever. You know, do bad stuff,
rip all the wires out and put a weird CD inside of Cam and make him yeah. turn off.
Is Cam a robot? Do we think Cam might be a robot? I do like that she's like, what are your orders? And then Capri's like, do this stuff. And she's like, okay. And she turns like about face and then walks. Then we cut to Tori inside the camera. And she's like, where am I? And there's like this big hole in the wall, like this like screen thing. And a giant Zacky face is there. And she's like, what is it? What? Hold on. And then we cut outside to just two Zackies just messing with the camera. just like goofing on her, I guess. And so she calls for help, like on her morpher. She calls Cam first because she's still mad at just at Dustin and Shane. And then she calls for the other two, and nothing gets through. Then we cut to Clone Tor coming up to Shane, and she's like, "I need to." They're in storm chargers.
She doesn't even say hello. She
no, still in the mod outfit. Like yeah. That's like evil Tori outfit now.
Yeah, I can't remember if she just marches up to them and is like, "I need to get to the ninja base."
She's like, "I need to go to Ninja Ops," and they're like, "Tor, come on!"
They're like, "Whoa, whoa!" And pull her like into the back, which is just behind the counter and still out in the open where everyone can see and hear.
Yeah, and she's like, "I was attacked by Kel's axe," and they're like, "Tori, put it down a little."
At some point, they're like, "What are your clothes?"
And she's like, "Take me there now. We need to go." And they're like, "Eh." Then we cut to Tori again, and she's like, "Oh, what am I gonna do?" Like real Tori, she's in the camera. And she has, like, a mental projection.
She also, when she first gets in there, because she's still in that, like, 60s mom outfit, she rips that off and she has her ninja suit on.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm really glad that they kept – and this might be just, like, a thing in weird ninja pop culture that I'm not familiar with because I've only watched ninja stuff in Power Rangers, really.
And Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but they don't wear clothes and then rip them off and have a Ninja Turtle costume on.
You're right. The only time they do that is when Raph has a big coat on.
Yeah. So I just like the continuity of if you're a ninja, you can rip off your outfit and have a ninja outfit on.
Yeah.
And it's the same motion.
Right. It's just it's grab shoulder, tear away other clothes, and you will have your ninja outfit on underneath it. So she remembers Sensei from earlier being like, your strength comes from inside of you and your inner energy or whatever. And she's like, that didn't apply to a photo shoot, but it does apply to being stuck in a camera, weirdly. So she's like, I summon the power of ninja water, and then water just comes from beneath her and, like, just pushes her up and out of the camera. Like, it just, like, gets her out of the dimension.
Just like in that one room in the water temple where there's just the water pillar that rises up.
Yeah.
And you ride it to the next floor.
I've been watching that Let's Play we did, like, off and on. This is pretty good. We cut to Dustin and Shane and Tori in not Tori's van. This is a different van. I think Dustin also has a van.
Well, yeah, they need to carry all their gear. He has a dirt bike he needs to put in there.
You're right. The only person who doesn't need a van is Shane, because you can just carry a skateboard around. Take it from me.
Yeah, you can tuck it into a backpack. You just need a bike, really.
Yeah.
But why would you do that when you've already got wheels?
You're already on wheels, your skateboard. Baby. So Shane's in the middle. Clone Tori is in the passenger seat. Dustin's driving. And he's like, oh, we're going to stop for gas. And Tori's like, no! And he's like, but what if we run out of gas? And she's like, we'll make it! And they're like, okay, all right. And then they pull up to road construction. And she's like, what is this? He's like, ah, oh, it's road construction. All right, we're going to have to figure out what to do. She's like, I'll take care of it.
It's fun. They pull up to it. And she's like, don't stop. And they're like, and Dustin's like, what am I supposed to do?
We gotta, though. And so he's like, I'll take care of it. She gets out. She goes up to one construction worker and starts screaming at him. She's like, what are you doing? Get out of the way! Move!
He does, while he's being yelled at, she also, like, grabs him by the collar and shakes him.
It's, like, shaking him, yeah.
And he turns the sign from stop to go.
And Dustin and Shane are like, she's being weird, right? And Shane's like, yeah, like a little weirder than normal, I would say.
I feel like Dustin asks Shane, like... Does she seem a little tense? And it's like, bud, she seems a lot tense.
She gets back in the car, in the van, and they're like, all right, I guess we're going to go now. I forget what. Oh, no, the surfer boy from earlier, like waves at her, and she's like frowns and storms back over into the van. And Shane's like, that's him. And she's like, who? And he's like, that's the guy from earlier. And she's like, I don't care. And Dustin's like, well, don't you wanna? And she's like, can we just get there now? She's like, okay, sorry.
At this point, she's screaming
with her whole mouth,
with her whole face. Her whole face opens up, and like it is almost Rita Repulsa levels of shrill. the way that she is screaming at them. It is
it
like
is up there.
It is one notch below.
It's very good. We cut to Tori getting out of the camera and doing some ninja jumps, and then she intercepts the van. And so Clone Tori gets out, and Dustin's like, that looks just like Tori. And then they don't put it together that maybe the one they had was evil yet, but they're like, okay. Tori comes out, and she's like, get out of my face.
I found you, faker.
And then Clone Tori's like, I will not.
This is
be
just
stopped.
The first time Sonic and Shadow meet. It's exactly the same.
This is 2003. That's Sonic Adventure 2 Battle Times, baby.
Yeah.
So then she, Clone Tori also does the ninja tear and has her ninja suit on. They start fighting. Shane and Dustin come out, and Shane's like, we got to help him. And Dustin stops, and he's like, help which one? Because right. They're identical now. So they start fighting.
And they were also, they're also like a couple big dummies that weren't sure which one was real to begin with.
Yeah. So the Tors are fighting, and I think we cut up to Lothor for a second, who's like, go do something. And then a guy comes in a second. But this is, I did realize that Tori, which is to say Sally Martin, the actress, does look a little bit like Avril Lavigne. And I wonder if that was on purpose.
I mean, the style, the fashion sense, the way that she like dresses is pretty similar.
If Avril Lavigne was a surfer and not a skater,
yeah,
she would be Tori.
The tight tank tops that like a little bit of the midriff is showing with the big baggy pants is just what Avril Lavigne looks like.
Yeah.
And then you put just like a loose button up over it.
Yeah, just like a flannel. Like a light flannel.
The only thing missing is all the punk bracelets.
And the tie. And
Tori,
just like a tie.
And Tori is like a very like pleasant shade of blue instead of like harsh black and white and like
and
yellow.
Like, and like some dark green sometimes. Yeah. They start fighting. The Tories are fighting. They go, the boys go to like intercept to help. And in jumps. And I didn't get a name for him, so I just called him copy chameleon. Because I decided that my naming convention for bad guys this season is Mavericks, so they all they're all gonna rhyme, not rhyme, but there'd be alliterative probably. Even though I know not all the Mavericks were.
No, only one of them was.
Only really one.
Only Armored Armadillo in the first Mega Man. I can't remember all of them, but first Mega Man X, obviously not the first Mega Man.
No,
that would be
ridiculous.
Those were all mans. Those were animals. I was going to say something. Oh, his name was Copybot.
Oh, that sucks. I'm going to call him Copy Chameleon.
Which I kept hearing Copypot, and I was like, I guess his head is kind of like an old clay pot.
It's a Copypasta, the monster.
But I'm pretty sure it was Bot, even though he doesn't look like a robot either.
No, he's a chameleon mostly, I think.
But, you know, it sounds like Copypot, which is funny.
Is it? Is that the joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so he stops them. They morph, cut over to Tori and Clone Tori fighting, and Clone Tori throws real Tori into like a well. There's like a wall.
It's like a fountain.
Like a fountain. But she like hits like the corner of it, and then she's like, you're gonna die now. And Tori's like, there's one thing you couldn't copy from me. And then she water bends like she's Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, so she, in the camera dimension, she just created a pillar of water underneath her and wrote it out.
Yeah.
But this time she controls the water that's already there.
Yeah.
And throws it on Copy Tori, and she dies.
She
from
melts.
Water.
She screams like the Wicked Witch of the West. She's like, I'm melting! And then sploosh, water, and she's dead now. It's better this way for Paper Jam Dipper. So then she, Tori runs up to the boys and they're like, hey, how do we know you're the real Tori? And she's like, Dustin, your real name is Waldo and Shane is afraid of spiders. And they're like, okay, you got us. Dustin's like, you're afraid of spiders? And he's like, yeah, they're gross. You want to make something about it, Waldo? And he's like, you're right, never mind.
Tori tells them, she goes, you guys can go to therapy later. We have a problem to deal with.
We've got Power Ranger business. The fact that Dustin's real name is Waldo, which is bananas, feels like something they made up today.
Oh, it like, absolutely
like,
is.
On in this episode, like in the show Bible, they weren't like Waldo Dustin last name, who I don't know what his last name is. Like they're like, no, this is Dustin. And then they were like, what if his first name is Waldo? And they're like, yeah, throw it in. Which is kind of something I really respect about Power Rangers is their ability to just go, throw a new thing in. Who cares?
So I searched for Power Rangers Ninja Storm Dustin.
Okay.
One of the first autofills was Dustin and Mara fan fiction. And so I did not click that. But
they would seem cute together.
Maybe that's a spoiler. Who knows? But on Ranger maybe. Wiki, he is listed as Waldo Dustin Brooks.
He should just be Dustin. And then it should say Waldo Dustin Brooks, known as Dustin from Ninja Storm. What are everybody else's? I think Tori's last name is Hansen. I think I saw that somewhere.
Let's see if I can easily find a click. Here we go. Shane is Shane Clark with an E at the end.
Clark
Hay. Shane Clark Hay. And Tori is loading. Tori Hansen.
It is Hansen. Okay, I was right.
Yep.
Cool. Now we know. So Waldo and Shane are like, okay, so we'll stop fighting. And Tori's like, get therapy later. We're going to do Power Rangers stuff. She morphs. Then they do Ninja Shadow Power against the Zackies.
I swear, when Shane was running at them, he said, Ninja Shadow Fight.
Maybe he did.
And then they went behind a screen and fought in silhouette.
And then, like, I thought they were each going to do a different ninja power, but they all just did Ninja Shadow Power. And they, I don't know what the advantage it gives you.
They say it, and they do it like it is a special attack.
Yeah.
Like you trap them behind a screen and beat them up, like, and that's just an attack animation that you do on them.
Yeah. And it must do more damage because it kills all the Zackies.
Yep.
And then copy Chameleon is like, I'm going to blast you real quick. And then also I noticed that he's doing that like a bad pumpkin rapper impression, and he does extremely awful raps and rhymes.
I wouldn't call them raps and rhymes. He just says things that rhyme mostly.
Yeah.
Because there's not a meter to anything that he says. It's just the last word. The last word he said this time is rhymes with the last word he said last time.
And sometimes he takes a long walk to get to these rhymes. And it feels like maybe someone should have not. If you can't write good rhymes, don't write rhymes for a character. You just make that character not rhyme. Because yeah, you're the one who says what he says.
There's literally no reason for this guy, this coffee pot gross monster thing, to talk in rhymes.
No. Chameleons famously don't rhyme. Everyone knows that. There's no word that rhymes with chameleon, even.
Not a real word, anyway.
No. So then Tori makes him drown. She turns the ground into water, and he can't swim, and he drowns. And then they shoot him with the Storm Striker. These are some wild powers that Tori is busting out.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty into, that they just have, like, ninja affinities. And I hope next time we get some from Dustin and Shane. Like, we see, like, the full breadth of what these ninjas can do.
The breath of the wild, if you will.
I will. I've been thinking about playing it again, but I did just get Animal Crossing, so...
Man, let me tell you, I bought Pokemon Mystery Dungeon when it came out, like, 2 weeks ago, and I put maybe 10 hours into it, and I bought Animal Crossing 3 days ago, and I think I've put, like, 16 hours into it.
I mean, look, there's something very satisfying about pole vaulting over a river so you can go chop a tree down.
It's so good. I have a ladder now so I can climb up to the top of my island.
How did you get the ladder? Where did the ladder come from?
Nook will. Nook gives it to you because he's like, you need.
Do I got to keep talking to Nook? Because I never talk to Nook. Is that my problem?
I think so. Because he'll come on in the morning and he'll be like, come talk to me for some stuff.
I never do that. And then every time I talk to him, he's like, hey, you paid off the house. Or hey, thanks for putting Nook's cranny down.
Yeah, because he's going to want you to put 3 plots down. And if you invited 3 villagers, you'll get them on like 3 days after you fill the plots.
Okay.
But if you didn't, you'll get like random ones. But when you do that, he'll be like, we need a bridge because we're running out of land space. And then he'll be like, you also need to make a flower wreath, which, and the flowers only grow on the cliffs. So he gives you the ladder to go up there and get those.
I'm going to start time traveling even more so I can get there. I'm gonna talk to him so much, he's going to want to kick me, the resident advisor, out or whatever I am. I'm the mayor. I don't know why they're not just calling me the mayor.
You're the resident representative.
Representative, that's it. Anyway, we cut back to back to Power Rangers. They kill him with the Storm Striker, and then Lothar's like, somebody do something about this. And so Sergei hits he texts him a growth scroll. And he grows, and they're like, this again. So they do Zord time, and copy, Chameleon can split himself into like a bunch of them. Like he does like a bunch, he like multiplies, and they're like, what are we gonna do? And so Cam's like, I'm gonna send you Megazord Lightning Mode, which is extremely powerful. It uses your inner energy, which is a thing that is nebulous at this point. And also it only works for 60 seconds, so you gotta be quick with it. So they're like, cool. And then he sends them that. And lightning mode is, do you remember in season 3 how there were the Shogun Megazords and then the Alien Rangers had the Battle Zords or whatever, the Battle Borgs?
Yeah.
And they were like skinny, like svelte attack versions of the big clunky Shogun Zords?
Mm-hmm.
Megazord does that.
Yeah, all the big parts that stick off of him shrink down and he becomes like nimble.
Yeah.
And man-sized. He's like, he being the Megazord, it is just like standing there, but it's hopping because it has like a lot of energy. So it's like hopping back and forth like the Lucha stance in Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. And so it just, they like, they beat the crap out of Copy Chameleon. And Cam does start doing a countdown. He's like, 20 seconds, 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. And he does the whole countdown. And then they buff back up as soon as the time is over.
This is the only rhyme I remember from Oswald Coffeepot is that he at some point during the Zord fight is like, multi-attack, give him a whack.
He said like, oh no, I can't swim, I fall into your whims, or something extremely awful like that.
And then one time he's like, shoop de whoop, gonna give you a boop. He just like made up a noise to rhyme with a word that he said.
This might be a very 2003 phrase that I'm about to say, but his rhyming blows chunks. And I hate it. So they kill him. They call it the Serpent Sword, but I definitely heard it say Slippin' Sword this time. And then they turn into three.
I still can't tell if they're saying Serpent Zord or Sword.
I heard sword. I'm pretty sure it's sword.
Okay.
But I didn't hear serpent this time, so who knows who's right. They kill him, and they're like, guess copy chameleon couldn't copy that, which is us killing him. I don't know what the bit was. They do a lot of quips. They are like full-on 90s Spider-Man, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fighting goons quippy, and it's pretty great. It's a little much sometimes. But it's still pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully they find their footing and rein that in a little bit.
Yeah. Do you remember in the Power Rangers movie where Kim was like, have a nice trip, see you next fall, and then it would just cut between all the Power Rangers doing one-liners as they killed the Ooze-Men?
Yeah.
It's like, what if that, but the same amount, but only three people were allowed to talk? So it's like six people's worth of quips, but only in three people. So then he's dead. We go to commercial. We come back. I don't know if we go to commercial, but it like fades to like the end bit. And we're at Storm Chargers. And Tori comes in. And Shane's like, hey. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I guess you aren't completely unbeautiful. And she's like, okay, thanks.
She should have kicked him in the gut.
She's like, that's like a compliment, but like if it was shitty.
You didn't learn a single thing this whole time.
He's trying at least, which I appreciate. But yeah, it's a weird thing to say. And then Dustin comes up and is like, hey, Tori, there's a guy over there looking at surfboards. I need you to go help him. And she's like, okay, you know I don't work here, right? And he's like, yeah, cool. And they just like push her over there. And it's the surfer hottie from earlier. Then she like looks at him and then turns back at them. They're like, yeah,
Kelly is also there, but she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she is clearly party to this, but she's not taking any credit. And then Tori turns back around. She's like, "Hi, I'm Tori." He's like, "What's up? I'm Dill." And then we cut to, to Lothar.
Sup, chick? Name's Dill.
My name's Dill. And then I think Tori's like, "Well, it was nice while it lasted, Dill."
Oh, you had to go and talk, didn't you, Dill?
Sorry, Dill. So we cut up to Lothar, who's watching them on TV.
Yeah, he's got that Rita tech.
And this is full on Rita tech. Like, he just knows who and they are and where they are and, like, where they hang out. You have lasers on your ship.
Shoot them.
Use them now. Like, you know where they are. Like, we got to find the ninja school. Well, you don't have to worry about it if they're dead. It's pretty easy.
They have the ninja school.
They don't have the ninja, like, ops. Like, and I assume that there's something special with that.
Okay,
because it's, like, a hidden base.
Secret bunker.
The command center, yeah.
I do want to point out that in the opening, the little, like, spoken part at the beginning.
Yeah.
It does not say there's a hidden ninja school.
There are many hidden ninja schools.
It says there are hidden ninja schools.
Yeah.
Which is wild because we're never going to see a second one, I don't think.
Just the wind ninja school. The people watching them are, it's Mara and Capri, and they're arguing. Well, they're not really arguing. Mara's like, "Oh, that's a cute boy. Like, I wish I could meet a cute boy." And then Capri's like, "All the boys you would meet have eight legs and bug eyes because you're ugly." And she's like, "I'm actually cute, thanks, and you're being really mean." And then Lothar comes up. And this is when I was like, I don't think I like Capri anymore. I did for a couple episodes, but I think I'm over that now. Because she's just, like, extremely rude.
Yeah.
But then Lothar comes up. He's like, "Hey, you two screwed up extremely bad. Go to your rooms while I think of a way to punish you." And they're like, "Okay, sorry." And they leave. But then in come the Beetleborgs. And they're like, "Everything is ready to go,
yes,
bro."
They're like, "We're ready to fry, bruh. We're totally gonna mash them, bruh.
Pieces are all set, dude." and then they're like, "Yeah." And then the show ends and the episode's over.
Yep.
So, Josh, I started. Mm-hmm. What's the best?
Oh, I think the best has got to be Evil Tor yelling at them.
Screaming full-face Evil Tor is just wonderful.
100% into it. Like, way to go. Great job.
Yeah. Like Fembot.
If I close my eyes, I could have sworn Barbara Goodson was doing your voice for this episode.
Like a little bit. Like the spirit of Barbara Goodson flowed through Sally Martin to get it. Because, like, at first she's just, like, a little, like, like monotone, but like louder, right? When she's talking to them, because she's like, "The Kelzak's got me. We need to do something." But then she walks out and just starts screaming at this man in a vest. It's great. What's the worst?
I think the worst is Copybot. I think he kind of sucked.
Yeah, he doesn't really do any copying.
It's definitely, if it's not him, it's definitely his rhyming.
His rhyming. Oh, I was going to give it something else, but I think it might be his rhyming. It did blow chunks, Josh.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Capri being very mean might have been the worst, but I think it is the rhyming.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It's
and unnecessary.
Bad. It's I can't even say poorly written. It's barely written.
Yeah, it was the first draft of rhyming. And then, but again, if you don't do it good, you don't need to do it at all.
He could just say he's gonna kill them and then that's
like,
it.
Like, I don't think Papa Walt was like, "You better make a chameleon that rhymes" in the third episode.
It's not like, first of all, Pumpkin Rapper was created for Power Rangers as part of like this Zoo 2 footage. But like, even if he was in regular footage, like, he has a weird like dance to him. He looks like
He's like
talking
bops around
in a rhyme,
in a clever rap and rhyme.
This stupid robot, or whatever he is,
I didn't see any metal on him at all. It looked like
anything that maybe was armor looked more like clay. So maybe it was Copybot. I don't know. Anyway,
so then that is definitely a play on Copybot, which doesn't make any sense because he's a chameleon,
but he can copy. You see, except he didn't. I mean, he copied himself for one attack when he was giant, but he's not the one that copied Tori.
No, that was a camera.
He's completely irrelevant to this episode, except they needed a giant monster to fight.
Coffee Pot sucks, and I hate him. Yep. He's the worst. He's him the in worst. General is the worst. Who's the MVP?
That's got to be this Tor.
It's Tor.
I think actually we're going to go actress this time as Sally Martin.
I'm still going to give it to Tori because she did also learn like Naruto water jutsu techniques, like
but the way that she played both different Toris very differently.
Yeah.
Was very good. So I'm going to give it to Sally this time.
Yeah. Okay. Good call. Now we got to rank it. I still haven't updated the doc yet. I'm going to do that when we're done. But I think this is number one.
I think so. The premiere was good.
It was really good.
But this episode was just a lot of fun.
Like, the first episode, there was a really concise... They used their time really well to show who the characters were and, like, what they did while still, like, getting a lot of plot out. This was a lot of character stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm always here for that. Like, showing the characters having personalities and being different and, like, relating to each other and, like, how they interact is always way better than, like, ninjas from space came to kill your school and turn them into boba.
The conflict between the Rangers this episode was, like, a real teen thing.
Yeah.
Which is them dealing with weird teen hormones.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with Power Rangers until the bad guys saw that and tried to take advantage of it.
And, like, that's what season one was almost, like, not exclusively, but, like, most of the time.
Pretty much every time. Every time Rita saw them doing something, she was like, I'm going to make that thing they're doing bad for them.
I'm going to ruin, there's a spider statue. I'm going to make it maybe the creepiest episode of season one of Power Rangers.
I'm going to ruin your parade float. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, they're abandoning Zach for his birthday. Good. I'm going to send a knight to kill him in the quarry. Like, like season one had that magic about it. And they're really capturing that. And this is not to be like a Gen 1er about Power Rangers, because my favorite season is still Time Force, you know, which is very different from season one. But like, this one like really has, it scratches an itch that has not been scratched in quite some time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, number one, the new number one is Beauty and the Beach. Josh, what's the next episode called? Do you have it pulled up still? It's Thunder something.
Looming Thunder.
Blooming Thunder?
Looming Thunder.
Okay. Like Thunder Flowers. What could this be? I think the Beetleborgs are called the Thunder Rangers in this one, because the Rangers are the Wind Rangers and they're the Thunder Rangers.
Okay.
I think from just Googling about it.
Oh, and then when they team up, then you get the Storm.
That's the Storm. Well, they're evil right now, so I'm excited to see what that's about. Hopefully we'll get something about them instead of just them being like Surfer Batmans.
Yeah, I really think they should have been maybe 8 more episodes away, and we should have maybe met some more characters and maybe played with the like, who are they?
Yeah.
Like, but give us people to guess, because right now it's like, who are they? But we know it's not Kelly.
It's not Kelly, and it's probably not Dill.
Dill, and it's probably not Cam. So, like, who else have we met? Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. I hope they, I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope these guys are good. Anyway, we will see you on Friday for that. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Recording. That didn't sound good. So,
I was moving the arrow up to click the record button, and my mouse hit the end of the mouse pad and just stopped right below it.
Right, one.
I have to. Nope. Two.
Let's start over.
Start that again. Sorry.